Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, after he had lectured his son for five minutes on the evils of smoking, a concerned father said to his 15-year-old son, "If you ever decide to smoke, I want you to promise that you will come to me and tell me. I don't want to hear about it from a neighbor." To which the son replied, "Don't worry about me, Dad. I quit smoking over a year ago." An example of a shepherd not knowing his little lamb as well as he had imagined. Not so with Christ, our shepherd, who knows us intimately and who is constantly inviting us to know him intimately as well. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is at the center of our life in the church. Church is not primarily a place we go to in order to know about Jesus. The church is primarily the community of persons who know Jesus in an uniquely intimate way. From the very beginning, the Christian community believed that the living Spirit of Christ was present in the community. Jesus himself had said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst." This is what Paul means when he speaks of the body of Christ. The body, the community, which contains the living Spirit of Christ. Again, being in a Christ-centered community means not only knowing about Jesus, but also and primarily, it means knowing him as a living presence. This is what the church is all about. This is why the church exists. Everything else grows out of this. All the other functions of the church, the good deeds, the charities, the educating, the family counseling, the rehabilitation programs, the daycare programs, the senior citizen activities, the social activities, all these things take on their meaning only in relationship to the church's primary function of centering on Jesus. We can see a beautiful rhythm in the church's function, church's life, which makes it possible for us to be more specific about this. There is a gathering and a scattering that takes place. A time of gathering to experience the presence of God. A time of scattering to share it. A time of being called together and a time of being sent out into the world. Dear friends, from the very earliest time in the religious history of human being, this gathering aspect has played a very important role in the life of God's people. From the beginning, men and women built altars and brought their sacrifices into the gathering. Sacrifice, of course, is a way of showing the intensity and the urgency of our devotion. You give up something in the experience. The Old Testament reveals many ways and many moods of worship practiced through the generations before Christ. And with this kind of Old Testament background, it is not surprising that we find worship at the center of the gospel experience. The people worshipped in the temple. Jesus and his disciples worshipped in the temple. And they worshipped in the synagogues. Jesus worshipped in the little synagogue in the town of his birth. He worshipped in the synagogue at Capernaum, his headquarters during his ministry. The people also worshipped in their homes. Worship in the home is a tradition that reaches back to New Testament times, when, among other things, the first celebration of the Lord's Supper took place in the upper room of someone's home. The early Christians gathered together regularly for the breaking of the bread, for the prayers, and for the giving of gifts to the poor and the needy. From the beginning, the worship experience has been the uniquely valuable function of the church. And at the center is the Lord Jesus Christ. In a piece of inspirational writing called The Flame Tree from Birthquakes, Norman Hebel, the author, very beautifully urges us to rediscover the great mystery of the worship experience. I quote, "O Lord," he writes, "where can I find something so sacred today? An altar so holy, a mountain so mysterious that no one will touch it. When Moses reached the mystery mountain, you came in flame, and old Moses had to shed his shoes to walk the holy ground. Will you crucify my flesh on the untouchable flame tree where you suffered hell? Make me a holy ground, O God. Then perhaps I will see you leap in flames from the trees in my yard." That's the beauty of our worship experience. When you truly experience Jesus' holiness here, you also will experience him in common, ordinary things like the trees in your yard. You will begin to see the fire and hear the music and sense the presence. You should be concerned if we are living here week after week with feelings of frustration and emptiness, as though nothing important or exciting has happened. Perhaps some of us are coming with the wrong expectations. Perhaps something they are coming to a lecture series to learn some new facts about something. Perhaps something they are coming to a concert to be entertained. If you judge the experience in terms of whether or not you enjoyed the sermon or were tuned on by the music, you are missing the whole point of our worship together. We come together as a people to present ourselves to God through the Lord Jesus. The only question about the sermon and the singing and the prayers is, have these things helped to enrich your experience of God in this way? Before you judge these elements too harshly, be sure there isn't something in you that is blocking out the central experience, because Jesus comes. He comes in this immediate an intense way we call worship. Dear friends, a new parishioner asked his pastor about the capacity of the church. "It sleeps 500, the pastor replied. If you are here skirting around the edges, concerning yourself more with the worship aids than the worship experience, then you might just as well go to sleep. You have missed the whole point of what we are doing here. You will never get to know Christ that way. There are many components that can help make the worship experience vivid and real for us. the history and the tradition of the place we meet. Its walls literally permeated with the prayers of those who have met here in the past. The music that can lift our spirits and help us to focus on beautiful things, on harmony, on praise, on thanksgiving. And the silence, which can be as important as the music when God speaks to us. The fact of our being together. We can pray, we can read the Bible, we can approach God by ourselves, but worship is our coming together in the presence of God. But at the center is the act of communicating with Jesus as a congregation, as a people, to experience the living, intense presence of God in Jesus Christ. That is what the gathering is all about. And if we come primarily for some other reason, we might just as well go back to sleep. Are we Christ-centered people? Are we participating in Christ events so fully that we are being drawn into an ever deeper union with God? That is the question. In one sense, the gathering is an end in itself. In another sense, it is not, because the gathering together is a preparation for a scattering, for mission and ministry to others. The New Testament Christians scatter themselves into the world with amazing vitality. They were propelled by an urgent desire to share Christ with with the world, with other human beings. They proclaimed the gospel to the world. They told people about Jesus. Of course, their love for Christ and their understanding of his message led them to feed the hungry, visit those who were in prison, to protest against social injustice. But they did all of these things as an outgrowth of their learning to know and to love Jesus through the gathering. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, Jesus said. Jesus is very much present in this gathering, dear friends. We are in touch with him, and we draw from this intimate communion with him the urgent desire of the early Christians to share Jesus with the world. Gathering, scattering. That is the beautiful rhythm in the lives of those who know and love their shepherd best. May God bless us. Amen.